Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
We are rolling on this Friday morning. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe here with you. We're having a little connection issue with Darren McFarland. Not uncommon.
Three and a half months, and we've been pretty good. But
honestly, this is the longest time that we've had a connection issue, other than a little glitch here and there. So we've been very fortunate. But if you watch any national show that's been going through this with people broadcasting from different areas and the Zoom and all that stuff, there are glitches that happen. But we'll get Darren up as soon as we can. In the meantime, we've got a fun interview. Looking forward to this because we've had a chance to talk to his dad numerous times over the last few years. I got a chance to work some Nashville Sounds games with him. His dad is Kevin Jarvis, but Bryce Jarvis now steps to the forefront. Brentwood Academy alum, Duke baseball pitcher, drafted in the first round the other night by the Arizona Diamondbacks with the 18th overall pick. Bryce, great to have you on the show. Congratulations on what has happened to you over the last 48 hours.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Well, tell us about what the night was like, what a process it was. And, of course, you had plenty of, as we say, curveballs thrown at you this season, unlike any other before. But it ends up with you achieving, I know it was probably a lifelong goal for you. So what went through your mind as the pick unfolded on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I mean, I think that day the time went by slower than any other day. You know, not having baseball these last couple of months to fill my time has definitely made me think about that night a lot more. And you know, as the day got closer, kind of the anticipation grew, and then even as the day went on, I just wanted the draft to start and the picks to start rolling off. And when I heard my name called, it was definitely fulfilling and super exciting, something I've been looking forward to for definitely my whole life. And, you know, it's definitely not the end, though. There's still a long way to go to get to where I want to be, but definitely a big step in the right direction.
Yes, no doubt. And, Bryce, I know there's a lot of dynamics that happen leading up to the draft and even while the draft is going on with the signability of different guys. So when did you know, when did you get the call from the Diamondbacks that you were going to get picked? Or were you just watching it on TV like all of us?
No, I got a call about 30 seconds before the pick flashed up on TV. So there was not much time between when I found out and when the rest of the world did.
Did you have any inkling of the teams that were most interested? We looked at some mock drafts and we were trying to figure out where everybody was going. We saw your name on a list with different teams, but did you ever have a sense that the Diamondbacks were the one?
Yeah, I mean, you try not to put a lot of stock into one mock draft or another, but just over the last couple of weeks, you know, talking to different teams, I definitely built a good relationship with the Diamondbacks and their local scouts and some of their front office guys, and they were a team that were definitely at the top of the list for me, and super excited to get the chance to join that club.
One of the things that we all marveled at was watching Al Leiter break down sort of your career path. And we've had a good chance to talk to your dad a few times about some of the things you've done to improve. But it really looks like you made a big leap. Now, we all saw you pitch last year against Kumar Rocker in that Super Regional, that classic game they were always going to remember. But you made a big jump even from last year to this year. Tell us about what your approach was at the end of last season to try to make a jump to improve your stock.
Right. So, you know, I was draft eligible last year as a sophomore, so got to kind of experience some of the things in the draft process, and you know, realized that I wasn't in a spot to go where I wanted to go in the draft, and was going to need to put a lot of work into you know, my craft of pitching and my body in general to make those improvements. And so I took last off season off of playing in a summer league, which most guys go and do between the end of the college season and the fall when we report back to campus. And instead, I chose to, you know, go work out and try to put on about 20, 25 pounds of muscle and add another pitch, a curveball into the mix to give me a fourth off or a third off-speed pitch, a fourth pitch, and kind of rebrand myself a little bit. I'd always been able to get guys out with the stuff that I had, but if I wanted to make a jump to go to the next level, I knew I was going to have to make those improvements.
Another thing I saw was that you went out and experienced this drive line. I've been hearing about this for a long time. I've never really looked at it in depth, but it really looks like it can help some players. What was that experience like for you? How valuable was it?
Yeah, it was super valuable. I think a lot of guys, when they hear drive line, they think of, you know, the weighted balls and the max velo pull downs into a net, you know, guys screaming all over the place, which there's definitely a lot of that. But the piece there that I was more focused on was their pitch design laboratory, and they have what's called motion capture analysis, where they put kind of the dots all over your body, like you see when they make video games or CGI movies, and they you go through your pitching delivery and they track all the different points and analyze the efficiencies and inefficiencies in your delivery, as well as how the pitches move and how you can make adjustments both to your delivery and your release or grip for individual pitches to try to make them as good as possible.
Wow. So it's interesting because I think we get so caught up sometimes in the velocity, right? That's what everybody seems to be focused on. The radar gun, was it 93? Was it 95? How hard did this guy throw? And that is an important piece of the equation, Bryce, but I think what you're saying is that the other stuff is just as important, if not more important, when you put your craft together.
100%. You know, you need all of your pitches to work together, and you know, hitters are getting better and better, and I think, you know, if you put a ball in a pitching machine throwing 100 right down the middle, I think any professional baseball hitter would be able to touch that up pretty good, just how good they are these days. So you need pitches that work together, and need to be able to add and subtract velocity and have pitches that move differently and kind of mirror each other if you want to be really good at getting guys out.
Jace, go ahead.
We're talking to Bryce Jarvis, and now with the Arizona Diamondbacks, so congrats on that. And, you know, I know this is obviously a weird time, as you guys were talking about, not being able to do as much workouts, and usually you would go through an entire process of being introduced to your team. So, but not playing during, you know, the college baseball season, actually getting to enjoy the draft, I know that must have been nice for you.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, the draft usually happens during the college postseason, and so getting to be with my family was going to be up in the air, but having the opportunity to be at home and be surrounded by friends, family, supporters, teammates, coaches that all helped me get to where I am today was really special, and I was super happy that they got to share in that moment with me.
Do you allow yourself to, I guess, and I've asked people this before, be a kid, so to speak? I mean, you saw your dad play, and do you allow yourself to just kind of have that moment of, you know, going back to when you were a kid and imagining being in the major leagues? Have you done that at all?
Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, anybody who plays baseball and aspires to play at the next level, you know, does in their off time. It's hard not to. I think growing up around my dad and around the big league game, getting the perspectives that I did, give me a little bit more of a unique view, and I can understand it at a little bit of a deeper level. But at the end of the day, you know, I think fulfilling those childhood dreams, you know, is something that, you know, I was looking forward to doing for a long time.
We're talking to Bryce Jarvis, first-round pick of the Arizona Diamondbacks, grew up here. And Bryce, I want to ask you about your high school experience, because this area is now getting more and more. We were just talking about this before you came on. Tennessee, as a state, had tied for the fourth most players picked with 10. It's really rising in the overall talent base. So tell us about just growing up in this area and how baseball is developing here.
Yeah, I mean, baseball has definitely come a long way since, you know, I moved here and started playing here. I know a lot of guys I played high school baseball with and against all went on to play, you know, high-level Division I baseball. And I think, you know, all of that talent in one place is just going to breed better talent. It kind of builds on itself. You know, when you play against better players, you know, it makes everyone else better. So kind of refreshing that cycle and having people play against, you know, players of that caliber is just going to be better for baseball in the state of Tennessee.
You played at one time for the Knights organization. My son is playing right now as we speak in the 14-year-olds over in Atlanta. I know you know what that is all about. What advice would you give parents developing players about the best path? Because, you know, you always hear the right stories and you also hear the wrong stories about, you know, maybe playing too much, playing only one sport, all of these other things. So what's the right balance as you're developing? What advice would you give?
Yeah, I think one of the big things I would say is, you know, play as many sports as you want to and as you enjoy for as long as possible. I think a lot of people are, you know, specializing in baseball at such a young age. And, you know, while baseball might be the thing you want to do, I think all the other sports, you know, basketball, football, soccer, whatever you want to play, you know, you can learn other fine motor skills that can apply to baseball or you know, that you don't actually pick up practicing baseball, but it can still help you. So I think I would say, you know, play a lot of sports and make sure you're still having fun and not focus on baseball only too soon.
I know it was disappointing not to have the college season play out because you guys had a really good team and you guys were so close to getting to Omaha, which would have been just a huge milestone for the Duke program. I do want to ask you about a couple of the games that we're all familiar with. Number one, last year, the matchup against Kumar Rocker, we've never had a chance to talk to you about it. We have just been gushing about that game. You know, anybody that was there, it was just a tremendous atmosphere, not only because of the no-hitter that he threw, but because you were basically matching him. It'd been one thing if it was 5-0 or 10-0, but every pitch was so intense because the game was on the line. What was it like from your perspective?
Yeah, that was definitely a really fun game. Obviously, it was unfortunate to be on the losing end, but when someone puts a performance like that together, you just got to tip your hat, honestly. But being in the other dugout in the middle of the game, I think I was just telling myself to focus on what I can control, and that was how I was pitching and not how whoever was throwing on the other side was throwing. You can't really get caught up in any of that because, you know, it makes you lose focus. And I had to just go out there and take things one pitch at a time and try to come out of the game with my team in the best position I could put them in. And that's what I feel like I did.
Now let's fast forward to earlier this year. It's still getting warmer. The college season's just unfolding. And you're able to throw a perfect game, which is rare on any level of baseball. But college baseball in particular, you know, with the aluminum bats and everything like that, what an unbelievable thing to have on your resume going forward. Just what's that feeling like as you're going through especially the last few innings, and everybody in the park, I'm sure, is aware of it, yourself included. How did you try to mentally get through that?
Yeah, it was really just a lot of the same things, going out there and taking things one pitch at a time. I think in terms of getting into the later innings, there was one batter, I think I had 3-2. It was my first 3-2 count of the night in the seventh inning, I think. And, you know, I was really hoping I wasn't going to walk him. And I think I punched him out to end the inning on a outside slider. And after that pitch got called, you know, it was all downhill from there. I was just riding the adrenaline. And the eighth and ninth innings were just felt like blurs, honestly. I was going out there and just trying to empty the tank with every pitch and, you know, doing the same thing that got me through the first 6-7 innings, and looked up in the ninth and things fell my way. So it was definitely a team effort. It takes plays behind you in the field and, you know, coaches in the dugout making calls. So that's definitely a game I'll never forget and hopefully something I have the chance to do again.
As you look back, when you were warming up, did you feel like you had your best stuff? When did you kind of know that you were going to be in the groove?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're warming up before a game, you try not to take those feelings into the game, whether they're good or bad. You know, sometimes you may feel bad before a game and end up throwing great, and the opposite can happen too. But before that game, I definitely felt really good in the pen. I remember turning to our pitching coach after I threw my last warm-up pitch in the bullpen and saying, you know, I think everything's working today, and him just turning back to me and saying, all right, well, let's go have a game. I don't think any of us ever thought about the possibility of a perfect game in that moment, but it was definitely cool to look back and remember feeling that good before the first pitch was even thrown.
Oh, that's great. We had a fun conversation with your dad. I know he and your mom were both in the stands, and because it was cold, he said they sat together, which is rare. They're usually, your dad says he usually paces around and is moving around, but because of the weather, so maybe they should sit together more often, I guess, when you
coach. I don't think my mom can handle that many more of those. There's a reason they watch from different spots. They take take the game in a little differently, both in their own way. But it was awesome to have my family there. They try to get out to as many games as possible, and I was super thankful to have them in the stands and have them be able to see that.
Well, Bryce, thanks a lot for coming on and giving us your perspective. We wish you the best of luck going forward. I know you've got the next chapter, at least today. You're going to go. I know you're about to go work out. So thanks for spending a few minutes with us. Enjoy the moment, and we'll be following you as we go forward.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
All right, that's Bryce Jarvis from Brentwood Academy. Grew up here, and now a first-round draft pick from the Arizona Diamondbacks. One of 10 players from the state of Tennessee drafted in a 5-round Major League draft, the fourth highest among the states. When we come back, more of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.